New research from Charles Darwin University has revealed how social media influencers use manipulation and cultural pressure to police black women's behavior online. The study shows that harmful messages discouraging independence and punishing women who express autonomy are widely amplified by algorithms. I spoke with researcher Vimbai Muturo about the harm of these messages.
Well, it's an urgent issue because it all revolves around, you know, gender-based violence, right? We've seen that this is an ongoing endemic, and Black women are disproportionately victims of gender-based violence, and what happens online no longer stays online. When millions of people engage with content that excuses abuse or shames Black women for having boundaries, or shapes real attitudes and behaviors that we see offline. And as I said, Black women already face disproportionate rates of gender-based violence, and these digital messages normalize those harms. And young people also see this type of content, and they start to believe that what they see online is how they should treat relationships, how they should treat Black girls and Black women offline. So the impact is very cultural and emotional and also life-threatening.
What were some of the main harmful messages you found in, I guess, the videos you analyzed?
Well, after analyzing 80 short-form videos and really going in depth at about 28 of them, there were four main themes. The overarching theme was policing Black women's femininity, or what it means to be a Black woman. But there was also the devaluing of independence by promoting fear of being single, and weaponizing racial and cultural identity, which really put Black women in this weird space where you have to choose your Blackhood over your womanhood. You have to choose, you know, being a sellout to your race or standing up for, you know, gender equality, which was very kind of really manipulative. And I found that really, like, I don't know how to explain, but that whole thing where they say, you know, feminism is a Western import, and as a Black woman, you should stay away from that. Feminism has no space for Black women and Black communities, and it's so toxic. And also the framing of abuse in relationship as Black feminine duty, like a Black woman is just supposed to endure harm, and that gives us strength. So those were the things that really stood out that were just egregious.
You just described how Black women, I guess, are forced to choose between Blackness or their womanhood. Mm-hmm. How does this pressure show up across, I guess, different platforms you analyzed?
Well, there's a lot of talk in, I guess, people who like to call themselves gurus and who claim to be very pro-Black, but their messages always have this this theme of how Black women should behave if they also want to be pro-Black. And that behavior means no matter what harm you receive, if it's from a Black man or a Black boy, don't seek help from the white man. You know, don't seek help from authority. So then we end up seeing a lot of underreporting offline, or the fact that that whole dialogue on that gender equality is against Black family norms, is against Black identity to want to be viewed as equal, to, you know, everything from having sexual desires, for example, shouldn't be something that is associated to being Black or African. You know, there's no desire that a Black woman should have other than reproducing children and being of servitude. And so deviating from that, you get called, you know, you're trying to be white, you're a coconut. For those who don't know what coconut is, Black on the outside, white on the inside, or you're a traitor to your race because Black women should fit in this box. So that's where that whole, you know, oh, if I want my own autonomy, or if I don't want to follow this box that I've been put into, am I no longer Black enough? Am I being a traitor of my own identity as a Black person? I don't think it should be separated. And I feel like when it is separated, it it causes that that weird space where you don't know how to identify. And I feel like what we should be promoting is that Black women are whatever Black women want to be. You know, I don't have to choose between being Black or being a woman. I am a Black woman. And as a Black woman, I should be treated as an equal to Black men, as an equal to white men, as an equal to white women, as an equal to Asian women. That it shouldn't be separated. Because we don't see other races having to deal with that. You know, we don't see other races having to separate that. So we should just be taking it value that we've got the autonomy to be whatever form of womanhood, whatever form of femininity you define yourself to be.
How do social media algorithms help spread these negative and harmful ideas or videos that we see?
For content, rage bait is the best thing that a lot of content creators produce to get the views, to get the clicks, to get the money. So saying outrageous stuff is nothing new. We see that because it has engagement. But the difference here is what's found in the comment sections. So when we see a lot of rage bait videos that are targeted to other races of women, you see a lot of outrage in the comments. That's great. We want people to see that this is a nonsense video. This is nonsense advice. But with the videos I analyzed that were targeted to Black women, the comment sections were praising a lot of this this rhetoric. We're saying, yeah, that's the sexist thing that you just said is exactly right. Or, yeah, you shouldn't leave your relationship just because you got slapped a few times. It's so hard to go through the comments and find people who are saying, this is madness. This is not safe for Black women. It is always in support of that. So it's the engagement. So the algorithms will always push things that have rage bait because that's what people click on. That's what people share. But it's how people accept this information and how people end up, you know, having that dialogue in the comment section.
Do you see examples of, I guess, creators pushing back against this policing and, what impact did that have?
One of the positive things that I found while doing this research is that there are a lot of content creators who have been, reposting these videos and having their own commentary on how harmful this is. And there's a lot of Black content creators, Black women content creators, and Black men who are speaking out against this. So, you know, things are changing, but their views don't match the same views as the outrageous, harmful videos that are out there. This is something that is very close to my heart because I am a Black woman. I love being a Black woman, but I have seen these social issues come in my own life, both digitally and offline. And I just hope that my work can help just spread the message that Black women deserve the freedom to define their own femininity on their own terms, not through fear, shame, or old tropes that glorify subordination, that glorify suffering. So that's what I'm hoping to do with my research. And thank you so much.
That was researcher Vimai Maturo speaking to The Wire.